Are we ready? Are we ready? Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah.
Live and local with Monica J. On 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here on this fabulous Thursday. We got all kinds of stuff cooked up for you today. All kinds of interviews. We've got a debate coming up tonight. So we're going to have to check in with the Trump team, see what's going to happen on our side. And yes, I do say our side. Nobody can accuse me of being bipartisan? Yeah, no, I'm not bipartisan. You know my politics. You know how I feel about all this. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. If you need any help, I did not post my picks online because I stole them from Carol Feinberg. I only tweaked two of them, so. Email me at Monica at 991fmtalk.com if you want a copy of that, and I will send it directly to you. Also, talk and text 884-9910. Glad to have you on the show today at some point, because we do have a couple of interviews today, of course, at the end of the show, 1138. We'll have the Trump team with us. Also, before that, we are going to have some candidates. We're going to have Marsha Birkbigler on with us. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to ask her about the short-term rentals up at Incline, because I know they're having a tough time with that. And we're going to have Frank Wright from the Incline General Improvement District. He is one of the candidates running for that. And you're saying, Monica, you've had three candidates on now for the IVGID. Well, you know, the invitation was put out to all candidates that if you want to be on the show before November 3rd, all you have to do is contact my producer, Craig. You know, we interview the people who take us up on it. Don't have time to just track everybody down. Sorry, I'm tracking down interviews like Dr. Fong and Rudy Giuliani and Trump campaigners. I mean, come on, help me out here. You want to be on the show, you got to participate. Speaking of participating, usually this is where, you know, I do my little tirade about stuff, but I'm going to tell my producer to go ahead and open up the phone lines, because I know when I start getting into the interviews, it's hard to get into the show. But if you've got something that you want to talk about, 884-9910. I want to talk about being prepared. Courtesy of Nissan of Carson City, today's poll questions. Do you think that there will be riots and looting if either political candidate does not have a clear and decisive win? Yes or no? So far, I believe the two people participating, because I haven't announced the poll question yet, that would be yes, 100%. What I'm more concerned about, though, is are you prepared for it? That's what I'm concerned about, because I just want you to understand that it is a true possibility, and I want you to be ready for it. Tomorrow, Sharon Engel is going to be joining us from the Election Integrity Project, because there's some big going-ons, and I've got the emails, you've called into the show, and I know that there are duplicate ballots out there. Okay, just even one of my producers got a ballot for somebody who was the tenant of his apartment way before he got there. So we need these ballots. Don't throw them away. Don't trash them. We need to collect them. It's called proof. And Sharon Engel will be joining us tomorrow to talk about more of that in detail. Right now, I want to get to yesterday's poll question. Should Supreme Court Justice John Roberts be impeached? 79%. 79% say yes. 21% say no. Remember, John Roberts was put through when you had to have a little bit more vote on the opposition side. A little bit more support. So the Republicans had to put in somebody that they pretty much anticipated the Democrats would go for. But then, hey, Harry Reid came along and instilled the nuclear option for us. So it's all about winning elections now. I think that's another thing that Harry Reid pretty much set in motion. So I guess he did do one good thing. Let's go to the talk and text lines at 884-9910. Gary's on the line. He wants to talk about voting in Carson City. And this is something that I've been getting a number of emails on. Gary, what's your take on voting in the capital city?
My wife and I were in and out at the community center in less than 15 minutes. But the one thing I don't think anybody knows is there's a recall Sisolak petition going on at the community center.
Well, that's fantastic that you guys, were in and out. And I'm glad you brought up the petition. So thank you for voting. Yay, you and your wife. I'm glad you had no problem doing it. That's what all of my emails are about, is the big issues with that 15 minutes of waiting for disinfectant. And depending on what time you go, the lines will stretch out. So, Gary, thank you so much for calling in today. And I'm going to talk more about that recall petition. If you want to sign the recall petition, guess what? There is a big push on Saturday at the state capitol. Taking Nevada Back will be at the state capitol this Saturday, day after tomorrow, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And isn't that the perfect place to be? It doesn't matter what county you are from. So with that, we're also putting a taking Nevada Back rally. We're going to be down there, 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. I don't know if we're going to be there from 9 to 4, but we will be there, and we will have our T-shirts there for sale. If you don't like Trump, you probably won't like me, and I'm okay with that. They're just $20, but we're going to have a little house cleaning as well. So for everybody that buys a T-shirt, I'm going to bring down a bunch of Trump swag, and you get free Trump swag with every purchase you make. So there you have it. We're going to have some fun Saturday. Come on out. Bring your flags. Bring yourself. Bring your chair. Bring some water. Let's just have some fun. Let's make it a fun rally. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884. Oh, and get Sisolak recalled. Let's go back to the talk and text and check in with Grant, who wants to talk about in-person voting. Hi, Grant. Thanks for calling in this morning.
The voting in Dayton is going very slow if you go in person to the place that you have to go to. We went day before yesterday. They start voting at 1. It took us till 4 o'clock to get in and voted and finally on the way home. That's how slow it was going.
That's incredible. Yeah, why would you start voting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I know it's staff and stuff like that, but still, that's unacceptable. Other counties, yeah, so Grant, hired people to, participate. They collected volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And well, and another tip for Lyon County voters, a lady posted from Silver Springs that rather than coming to Dayton to vote, she drove out to Yerington, said she was in and out in 10 minutes, done. And we were in line for took us 4 hours to vote. I mean, just, or 3 hours anyway. But just unbelievable. But they had they had a total of 8 machines, and 3 of them were broken. So,
This is where you contact, you know, people like Ken Gray and the county commissioners and the people in the county who are in charge of this, because it's unacceptable. It's not like it was a surprise that we were going to have early voting. It's not a surprise November 3rd is coming up. This is unacceptable.
They're encouraging more and more mail voting, which could lead to possible voter fraud. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, all right, Grant, thank you very much. Just wanted to give people a heads up.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time today. Kevin wants to talk about voting in Carson. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning, Martha. I just wanted to relate to you. Yesterday, I voted here in Carson City at the community center, and I only waited for maybe 10 minutes in line. Got in. The people are extremely nice and helpful. They had all the machines. People were at every station just about voting, and they're all new machines. They're very easy to use. And I just think it was well organized. And then again, Recall Sisolak is across the parking lot to the east. That's on the far end of the east parking lot. And they've got their stand set up there, so don't forget to do that.
Yeah, perfect. Kevin, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Appreciate your time. And that's what the recall campaign is doing. Taking Nevada Back is trying to have volunteers at every single voting location in every single county. Of course, they're 100 feet away, which is, somebody put out that it's supposed to be 1,000 feet away. And it's like, no, you had one too many zeros in there. It's 100 feet away from the actual polling location, but you can still be in the parking lot. So a lot of them are in parking lots. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk and text 884-9910. Cindy's on the line with us. Wants to talk about taking Nevada back. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Actually, I know our names are very close. There's a Taking Nevada Back, which is going on, but the name of our event is Take Nevada Back, and it's happening this Saturday. It's a statewide protest. We have we've been working on this for quite a few months, and so it's going to be in 2 strategic locations this Saturday at the Carson Capitol Building. It'll be the campus area. We're expecting a really good turnout. And
well, you're going to have us there, so I hope you do.
I am so excited about having you there. I got to tell you, we've been working to get you there for a while, Monica, because we know the people love you. You know, we love you here. I mean, aww, you take a stand on the same things that matter to us, and that's so important. And we're also going to have the same event, Take Nevada Back, happening in Vegas at the Grant Sawyer Building. Both locations, the event starts at 9 o'clock. And we're really taking a stand to regain our constitutional and civil rights. And I tell people, listen, the easiest way to think about this, think about what you've lost since COVID-19 happened.
people are willing to give up freedoms and liberties just in the name of a little bit of safety. And I can't believe, well, I do, because the media was so involved in it. It's just the fear mongering that has people so afraid.
Yes. And we're saying, look, no more. Look, we have constitutional and civil rights that we have the right to claim as our own and stand on them. We have an awesome lineup of speakers in both locations, but for Northern Nevada, Pastor Leo Kruger is going to talk about right to assemble. Dr. Schallenberger is going to talk about the non-science of mask wearing. Joey Gilbert's going to talk about medical tyranny. Assemblyman Wheeler is going to talk about the right to bear arms, and Senator Settlemyer is going to talk about socialism versus capitalism. And then we have just a great lineup of speakers. So we're asking people, bring your flags, bring your signs, stand up for your rights. This is your event. This is not our event. This is the people, we the people's event. That's what this was all organized for. And all the details about this event, people can go to takeamericabackagain.info. Everything is laid out there. It's the best place for them to go. But we're super excited that you're going to be part of this, Monica. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for calling, and thank you for helping organize this. Bring a chair, bring a sign, bring a flag, bring an ice chest, make a day of it with the family, because I want to see kids out there too, because they need to understand, because they're not going to learn this in school. They are not going to learn this in school. They're going to learn about socialism and Marxism in a way that is subliminal. In a way that they won't even know that they're learning it. Yeah, it's not good. So we'll see you at the Capitol, Carson City, Saturday, day after tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. Come for whatever time you can. It goes from 9 to 4. But hey, if you can only spend a few minutes out there, doesn't matter. Come on out. We're going to be back right after this with Will, who voted in Yerington. So I want to hear about how that went, coming up right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're here with me today as we talk about local issues. Like I said, it's live and local for all of Northern Nevada. Will's on the line. Will, you voted yesterday in Yerington. How'd that go?
Yes, my wife and I went at her lunchtime. We were in and out in about 10 minutes or less, if that. There was no line. Check-in, went right to an open machine, voted, and took off. So anyone that's a Lyon County resident, I would urge them to go to Yerington for quicker in-and-out times, if they can. You know, if they're passing through the area, but it's at the Lyon County Admin Complex, which is right next to the courthouse.
How do you feel about the locations, Will? Do you think that there need to be more?
I would say yeah and no. I mean, probably finding staffing, if you added more locations, would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But as we left, or as someone finished voting, they had someone there disinfecting machines. Right away. So there wasn't a big, long wait in between when people could vote. Honestly, when we went, there was no line. There was
unlike Carson City, where you have to wait for 15 minutes for the disinfectant to work.
Yeah, I don't know how that's happening over there, but Lyon County, I mean, at least, I believe our county, what's her name, Nikki Clark, I believe is her name, or clerk or something like that. Nikki Bryan is the county clerk, but they're doing a great job in Lyon County, and I really commend them. At least in Yerington, where we voted, it was super smooth and really, really simple. It was my wife's first time voting, so she was a little intimidated, but it was great.
All right, I'm not going to scold your wife. What is your wife 18?
No. She's actually 35, and it was her first time voting. And I think she was just one of those people who, I guess didn't know if their vote really counted or whatever. But this election and the things that have been going on really drove her to push her to go and vote, because some of the issues are so personal to us.
Yeah.
You know, being pro-life and those kind of things, and hearing what's going on the other side of the aisle, it's downright insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, every vote counts. And for all of you people out there that are saying, I don't know, I'm not sure, get your butt off the couch and get out there and vote and exercise your right and do it. You know, make a choice on what happens in the future of our country.
Will, God bless, and your wife, absolutely the best. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that experience today. I love it. I love it. There were a lot of first-time voters when I was poll watching the other night, which actually I'll be poll watching again tonight just to make sure everything goes smoothly. And that's the difference. This is how you and why you pay attention, because of the fact that every single county is having different experiences. Every single county is using different machines. Every single county is set up differently. Because in where I'm poll watching, there's only two actual employees of the election process, you know, and these are part-time employees. They, you know, get hired by the elections department. Everybody else working there, the four people that were wiping down the machines, the six people, my math is wrong, five people who were doing check-ins, those were all volunteers, you know. So, yeah. We can make this an easier process if we put the call out and get more volunteers. It's the same thing with poll watchers. There's supposed to be two watchers, one from each party, watching to make sure everything goes on smoothly. And I'm surprised at how few or how many locations don't have anybody on the Republican side watching to making sure everything goes okay. California, they bust in people to watch the polls here in Nevada. Wow. What does that say? How expensive is that? You know, they're not paying for themselves to come over here and, you know, stay or the transportation costs. Guess that's where all that BLM money is, what that's going towards. Who knows? I just know that if you can't get volunteers in your own community, then maybe there's a bigger issue there. We'll be back with more, including a recap of Rudy Giuliani joining the show the other day here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Thanks for joining us this morning on the Monica Jay Show, 10 to noon every weekday here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Participate in today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Do you think that there will be riots and looting and all kinds of chaos, fires and who knows what, targeting of conservative homes if either political party candidate does not have a clear and decisive win? That's today's question. Yesterday's question, should Supreme Court Justice John Roberts be impeached? We haven't seen something like this because of the fact that, well, he wasn't 100% clearly conservative. It was one of those judges that you kind of put in to appease both sides. 79% say yes, he needs to be out of there. The reason I asked this was because he made the decision to side with liberals about allowing states or people that have it in place. I think Pennsylvania is one of the big ones that your vote can be counted even if it's 3 days late. Drop it off, drop it in. That's wrong. That's just wrong. And so many other decisions that he's made. I mean, in my opinion, he just doesn't even look at the Constitution. So, did you miss Rudy Giuliani? That was so awesome having him on the show the other day to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop. And there's some sick stuff on there. The more I read about it, the more I'm looking into the FBI and what's going on, how long they've had this laptop, who was covering it up and didn't want to say anything. Again, once again, protection for the Democrats in the FBI. But now here it is out in the light of day. Let's get the interview started with Rudy. Thank you so much for joining me, Mayor Giuliani. I am doing fabulous. I get to talk to you, and I get to help get the truth out. Because unlike mainstream media, I'm allowed to actually say that the DOJ and the FBI and other sources have confirmed that the laptop in which you are discussing and the emails from Hunter Biden is not Russian disinformation being put out. Who has the laptops and the hard drives now?
Well, the FBI has the laptop, and I have a copy of the hard drive, and several other people have copies of the hard drive. The merchant who fixed the laptop has a copy of it, and he's distributed it to several people. I'm not sure of exactly how many. I mean, there are more people than me that have it.
It's been verified, but you're also passing off a copy to the law enforcement agencies in Delaware because of some very incriminating photographs of Hunter Biden.
Well, actually, what it is what would constitute evidence that you're really required to report about endangerment of children. And when I came across it, it took a place because this hard drive or computer is huge. I mean, 28,000 photos and 50,000 or so messages. So when we came across, when we came across a text in which he himself, Hunter Biden, said that he's a danger to the kids, and his girlfriend, former sister-in-law and girlfriend, said that the therapist had reported that he had taken his clothes off in front of minor children and had exposed himself. He denies that, but he does say he's a danger to them. Then we looked at the photos, particularly of the underage girls. We said this has to be investigated. Apparently it wasn't being investigated by the FBI. So former police commissioner Bernie Kerik and I went to Delaware, and we gave it to the Delaware State Police, which, by the way, under Delaware law, you're required to do. Apparently Joe Biden didn't do it, even though there is a text of his son describing this to him that's on the hard drive. His son describes this conduct to him, and apparently Joe took no action to protect any of these children, just like he never took any action to protect Hunter. I mean, Hunter was a drug addict years ago, and instead of helping him, he involved him with some of the worst criminals in the world.
And that's what you're hearing about now. Some of the worst criminals in the world, and they've got ties to Joe Biden. Straight access to him. It is so important to know who you're voting for. And whether it be local or national, whatever office it is, every single office is important. And yesterday we learned that the Incline Village General Improvement District is very important to the people here in the Valley, because of the fact that they are helping protect all of the things that we enjoy and that we want to go visit at Lake Tahoe. Joining us right now is Frank Wright, who is running for IVGID, if you didn't know what that little acronym was there. And Frank, are you running? What district are you running for? Or is it just
Incline Village General Improvement District Board of Trustees? And there's five members on the board, and I'm one of the candidates.
Now, I am sorry, forgive my ignorance. Are you on the board currently, or are you running to replace someone?
I am running for three open spots. One is retiring or not doing it any longer, and two are incumbents who are rerunning. So there are three spots open. There are six candidates, and I'm one of the six candidates.
So what do you want to bring to the Board of Trustees? Why is this something that you're seeking?
Well, I've been actively involved with IVGID for 10 years. I have brought many issues to the board over the years. Some of them are very damning and very distasteful. Probably the biggest thing that I uncovered was the sale of lots that were non-buildable, that were gifted to Incline by the county, and the county forgave the taxes on them. A finance director had the scheme to take those lots, and he created a secret list that he had. He set the prices for the lots, He quietly advertised behind closed doors those lots, and he put them up for sale. And I got wind of this after three of the lots had been sold, and I turned it over to the county and the county DA, and they shut it down immediately. But the thing about the lots is that they carry recreational privileges. The people who bought the lots lived in Chicago, Carnelian Bay, and places other than here, and they have access now to the full amenities of our community, which the residents pay for, and they can bring in thousands of people if they would choose to access the beaches, the golf courses, ski areas, and everything else that we have at the same fee and price that the residents would pay. It was heinous. And the thing that was really amazing is I pulled up the deeds on all these places, and I see that the finance director signed his name as a seller. The board didn't know that these lots were being sold. He didn't disclose this to anybody. Plus, he set the prices. I mean, he sold one for $14,000, one for $20,000. And these lots are worth hundreds of thousands. And you kind of wonder what he got in return for doing that. It was horrible. But that's just one of many things that are going on here. The short-term rentals now have become a huge problem. Mm-hmm. I just left a meeting where one of the candidates has he admitted he had 46 short-term rentals, and they've been a problem in all the neighborhoods. They turned neighborhoods into frat parties and their residential areas, and that's another huge thing, and the COVID blew that off the charts. So we have people coming up here who are looking at a place to unload, and they unload in quiet bedroom communities. And mm-hmm. I'm sure this is happening all around the lake, and there's no real laws or regulations that have been in place. So me being a candidate and having an involvement in all this stuff, I'm a perfect candidate for this position. It's just a matter of getting the people to understand that, to live here.
It sounds like it, because especially with those property sales, that's heinous. That sounds like something that Mayor Sheevy would do here in Reno. How has the county commission been working? What have their reactions been when you bring this stuff up?
Well, I took it to Marcia Burke Bigler, and she took it to the DA, and the DA called Incline and told them to knock it off. But the thing that was really amazing is they didn't prosecute this guy. They should have. He had no right to sell on public land. You know, there's rules and regulations in the state of Nevada. Lisa Krasner and Ben Kiekeffer passed legislation in last session. There's a bill that was passed that gave specific instructions to GIDs on how to sell public land in the future. So that shouldn't be a problem in the future. But it took all that to stop this guy who acted on his own without board approval. But the thing is, the board at that time should have stopped it themselves, and they should have prosecuted the guy. They let the guy retire, and he's out of here collecting a nice retirement, and he should have been in jail. But
do people who join groups like IFGID, do they just do it to be seen, or are people doing it to actually do work? It sounds like you're actually doing it to do work.
We have a majority board now. We have two people that are on the board, three of them that have been looking out for the interests of the people here. There's still two hangover board members who, probably the social thing that you're talking about, that they just want to have their name out there, that they're a board of trustee member. They've done nothing. They've created problems. They ignore the concerns of the community. And that's changed once we got the control of the board. But you know, this election is probably the most important election for our community, because if we're going to stop this stuff, we have to have a board that's going to be proactive and take action. There's another issue with the pipeline that carries the effluent waste to Carson City.
Yeah.
It's deteriorating and falling apart. We've been collecting money, $2 million a year, collecting money for this pipeline. And the money has been repurposed to other things other than the pipeline. And the pipeline, if we have a bad winter, could pop and break and dump all kinds of sewage into the lake. It's just poor management, unbelievably poor management, and unbelievably naive individuals on the board who just didn't have a clue of what they were doing. Because, like you said, they're there to be kind of like cheerleaders or the prom queens or something. They
well, it sounds like stuff. Some. It sounds like naive residents as well, as if they've been paying $2 million a year for this and it's still not taken care of, somebody needs to stand up and say, where's our money going? And
that seems to be me. I mean, I am one very vocal person that has brought this to the board, and they usually just go, thank you, next. And they don't listen. They don't do anything. It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's the power that they have and the lack of doing anything with that power. So it's
well,
hopefully hopefully it will. This will all change.
Hopefully. And, you know, it sounds exactly like what we have going on here in Reno with the city council. You know, you tell them what's going on and they just don't listen. So, Frank, how can people find out more about your candidacy and why they should vote for you?
Go to my webpage, electfrank.org, or you can give me a call at 818-601-1996. I'll be happy to talk to anybody at any time. And there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of questions about what's going on here. And I am there to provide information, documentation. And there's nothing I have to hide. I want to let everybody know everything. And, you know, the sanctity of these beaches here in Incline are very, very much in danger of being taken over by the world's tourists. It's just horrible with these short-term rentals. And yeah. I've been on this one for quite a while.
I'm so glad to hear that. Once again, that website.
Electfrank.org.
Electfrank.org.
O-R-G, yeah.
It's that easy. I like that website. I can even remember that. Frank Wright, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck with the race, and I hope you get on that board to protect and help protect the beautiful gem that we have at Lake Tahoe.
And thank you for all you do. You're one incredible broadcaster, and I follow you a lot, and you're right on. You're right on everything you say. So continue and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. You have a great day and get out there and get to more meetings that we need to know about.
Okay, thank you.
There goes Frank. It's so nice to see people getting involved and, you know, running for office that know what's going on behind the scenes. They've got the documentation. They've got the proof. You know, in just a few minutes, we have Marsha Birkbigler coming up, running for re-election for the Washoe County Commission. I'm going to have to get somebody from Lemon Valley on to call in here in the next couple minutes, because I want some things to go out before we actually get Marsha on. So I'm going to go work on that and get on my phone. I'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
For Mason and Smith Valley.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada. And on the line with us right now is Tammy Holt Still, who is one of the fighters out in Lemon Valley when it comes to the effluent water out there and Swan Lake and everything that's been going on. Tammy, thank you for calling in. You know, I've got Marsha Birkbigler on the line coming up at 11:10. What's going on out there in Lemon Valley?
Well, Washoe County owns the Lemon Valley Sewer Plant, which is in the 100-year floodplain, has flooded or been breached because of being in the playa of Swan Lake. It's 45 years old. It only processes quality sea effluent at best. And after doing some research, I found out that with the CDC doesn't know that much about SARS-CoV-2, which is the component of COVID-19, mutates. And they say that they can find in effluent or processed effluent or non-processed effluent that they can see how many people are infected with COVID-19. And they're not looking at this sewer plant to see if they are discharging COVID-19 to the playa and it's out open to the environment. And there's a good chance it's an environmental hazard and nobody seems to want to take interest.
So how were you guys treated?
Oh God.
I want to know, honestly, how were you treated when you were trying to share this information and get people to do their job not just, you know, be on a commission to be announced as a commissioner.
100% dismissed.
Okay.
Ignored. Don't know what I'm talking about. I can prove, I can show them that what the scientists are saying. And when it comes to the staff of Washoe County, they tell council that I'm full of it, that I don't know what I'm talking about. And no one on that council, except for Commissioner Herman, will take heed and listen to what has been put out there by the CDC.
That's disappointing. But we hear that from the city of Reno as well, that, you know, the staff behind the scenes, they're the ones that actually have the power. They have the connection with the city council members to, you know, nix or go a project. They're the ones that have the ears and the control. And so now, well, we hear it for the county as well.
Right. It's been that way for a long time.
Tammy, I got to let you go, but thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you.